Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's just, I really don't give a rip what type of offense he runs. It's like, it can't be so up and down.
Right.
It's got to be some consistency. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the rookie left tackle, Ariante Ursary. He will join Mark Vandermeer, John Harris coming up behind us. Area 45 back at it, 8 p.m. to midnight. You know it is. Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and our guy Colin jumping in.
Big Colin.
For the fellas. That's coming up after Texans All Access. Make sure you stay tuned here in a couple of minutes. We will get T-Mill's best bets as he broke even yesterday. See if he can get over there into the green. All right, Clint, obviously the Texans were able to win the game. The Texans didn't let this continue, what happened there in terms of the start that number 62 off the practice squad was given. And obviously it is not as top of the line, not as big of a conversation with how everything went on, and he only played 7 plays. But Clint, for you, how concerned are you about that entire situation of old 62 coming into the game and getting a start right off, fresh off the practice squad?
Well, when you win in spite of it, I think it's obviously minimized, but you know, whatever the driving force is behind the silliness, is what I'll refer to it as, that goes on, it seems to be usually in some way, shape, or form associated with the Patriot way. It seems to always go back that direction. And then you got guys that have that lineage that want to explain to us how you know, it makes sense. And in reality, it doesn't. The left guard situation. I mean, these guys get up there in a press conference, go, yeah, it's our, you know, we feel like it gives us our best chance to win to rotate left guards. They know that D'Amico, of all people, knows that in no way, shape, or form is evaluating the players. Hey, this is my better guy. Get him in the game as many snaps as I can and let him play until I decide he's not the better guy. Right? Clearly, you have an opinion of one guy's better than the other. To keep going back to the guy that's not as good as the first one is silly. It's silly talk in a game, right? The thought of you've been rotating guards at left guard all year long with two guys, A and B. All of a sudden, the right guard gets hurt, and instead of just plugging those two guards in at the guard spot, you bring a guy up off the practice squad and start him at one of those spots. That is, like, you don't play practice squad players unless you have to. You don't play practice squad players by choice.
Like the Ravens had to.
Right. By choice. I mean, you've got the two guys that have been rotating at left guard for 9 weeks that you've been trying to tell us are your best options at left guard, and they're better off if they're splitting reps and they're fresh all the time and they're rotating, right? And then you've got a guy which they ended up playing and starting this week. One of the guys they started was Patterson. And so that one makes sense by itself in a vacuum because he's been on the team, he's been getting reps, he's been working at guard, he played here a lot last year. for whatever reason, there's always something, some excuse, some silly explanation behind some of these moves. And as long as you win, they're not going to be a big deal. But the minute that you lose games, which, look, they've lost more than they've won this year, it's brought to light, and it's hard to wrap your head around and hard to understand.
Yeah, to me, it's just concerning of, like, the evaluation of, like, all right, man, we think this is the best thing for us. The evaluation of the situations they find themselves into. That is concerning
But this is bigger, Ron, because this one contradicts, you know, everything that they've been doing, right? Like this move contradicts the first 9 weeks of the season, including a bye week where you rotated your two left guards, and that was the best way to win games. And then all of a sudden, within a week, where I argued the offensive line actually played better, those two guys go to the bench, and this City Sal guy comes off the practice squad and all of a sudden is plugged in and plays like he's overwhelmed from jump. Is like, it just contradicts everything that they're doing, and it makes you wonder, do the decision makers really understand on the offensive line? Like, I understand the defense is great. They made great decisions over there. I understand that they got CJ. They got Nico. Okay, fine. On the offensive line, this has been an absolute mess, right? But this is just the latest of, you know, we're smarter than everybody in the room. We're going to do it differently, and it's going to work out. And it just, with the offensive line, it continues to bite them in the ass. Look, the same person that thinks it's a good idea to consistently trot Dare Ogunbowale out there in third down situations, no matter what the score is, no matter what the down and distance is,
no matter who you got on the team,
the same person that thinks rotating left guards is a better idea, right? I mean, it's the same person that thinks that, you know, 14 goes out there and has a really good game, and every time he's on the field makes plays, but we're not going to make it a point to make sure that he's on the field more and he gets more touches. You know, those individuals are in the building over there. I don't know where it stems from, but they're in the building over there, and they are head-scratching moves that seem to just happen once every couple of weeks that make you wonder, like, what in the world is going on?
Just hoping that we don't have many more of those what in the world, because that was that took the cake on the what in the world. That was unreal.
Jalen Noel had 25 snaps, number whatever he is.
I can't believe he had that many.
Six.
Jalen Noel had 25.
Who had six, would you say?
That
62.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, City Sal. Yeah.
Jalen Noel had 25 snaps.
Oh no, Jalen Noel got quite a bit of run this week.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that high.
He got more than his 11 that he got last week.
He got a little run this week. Yeah, he got. I mean, they did a good job of getting the youngsters involved this week.
Higgins had his best game.
Jalen Noel caught the big ball over the top. Caught a couple of little balls out in the flats. Woody Marks was in the game down the stretch late.
Woody was big. Yeah,
no, I thought they did a good job of spreading the football around, you know, and we just got to come to terms. Like, this is just not going – again, we've said this a million times. This is not going to be an offense that consistently feeds one player or two players or three players. This is going to be an offense that they want to try to spread the ball around, no matter who that means is getting catches and who isn't getting targets. That's what they want to do. And it works out. It's worked out quite a bit, and it's worked out really well a handful of games, and it's messed the bed a handful of games. We'll see. I just know this. I know that they were awfully special this week.
We'll see if they can build on this. All right, someone who's not going to wet the bed, Tyler Milner, T-Mill's best bets. By the way, if you do not hear them or get them, or you want to see them again, check out at T-Mill Real Deal. He'll have them posted up there for you to look at. What are your bets tonight?
I got NBA action. No Rockets, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys.
Yeah, but they play
Rockets
tomorrow.
Okay. Five best bets around the NBA tonight, though. Here they are very quickly. As Ron said, if I say I'm too quick, just head to the Twitter. Kings, +9.5. Give me those points. They are hosting the Nuggets. Next, I'm on an over. Memphis Grizzlies at the New York Knicks, over 231.5 points in that one. Raptors at the Nets tonight, under 233.5 points for that game. And then two player props. They're both Philadelphia 76ers as they are taking on the Celtics tonight. I got Joel Embiid under 7.5 rebounds. He has not eclipsed that in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. And then Tyrese Maxey over on the rebounds, over 4.5 rebounds for Tyrese Maxey. We've made a lot of money on that bet over the last couple of years. Those are your five best bets.
I like the Maxey one. I like the Joel Embiid one. You just don't know how many minutes he's going to play. He's usually around. They're building him up in the low 20s, and he's only, I don't even think he's averaging 6 rebounds a game. So I like those two. Kings Nuggets. Ooh, I don't know about that one. I will say, by the way, your coach, your basketball coach now, I mean,
fucking balls begun.
The fact that John Calipari only was able to pull one championship out of Kentucky, when you start looking at these cats that he had rolling through there.
I'm glad he's bringing them to Arkansas.
Shea Gildress, Alexander, Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is going off. Like, he is. And out of all people, the one that stayed healthy enough to get him one was Anthony Davis. It's just wild. But check out his picks and go ahead and make you a little money as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Our question of the day was, what war film character would you be? Yeah. And in talking around it, your very own T-Mill. T-Mill, you want to do the honors?
Clint would be Lieutenant Aldo Raine on Inglourious Basterds.
Don't grab my hand. Choke yourself.
And then he slid into Saving Silverman.
I always knew I was different.
Touch my hand.
I always knew I was different, and now I know why.
Two things you got to remember, boys. Number one, stay away from women.
Number two,
sportsmanship.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You're so H-Town.